that we have been able to share. Father, thank you, Lord, that the songs that we have sung, the words, Lord, that we have said, Lord, today, Father, would just take us out of the pit sometimes of our suffering and our despair. And Father, just focus us on a God who is greater and able to help us in all those things. And Father, as we open up your word today, Lord, and continue our series, Learning to Live Like Jesus in a World of Difficulty, Lord, as we kind of wrap that up with some closing instructions from Peter, really from your Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts. Father, I know there is a myriad of distractions, Lord, and I just pray that you would just take them away from us, Lord, just for a little bit, that your Spirit might speak directly to our heart and might change us, Lord, for the days ahead. Father, we give you thanks now for what you're going to do, and we just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, take out your Bibles. We are going to finish up our series today, Learning Like Live Like Jesus in a World of Difficulty. And I'll have to describe the world of difficulty that we live in. It's a mess out there. By the way, it's been a mess before. You know, it'll be a mess again. But we praise God that in the midst of all that, that God is there. And the thought we want you guys to just camp on here is, you know, we want to allow God, even in the midst of these struggles and these pressures that seem so great sometimes, to transform us in every circumstance. I heard someone say this one time. They say, God doesn't waste bad times. God doesn't waste those things. He uses them to stretch us and to change us and to draw us closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to dive right on in this morning. And the thought today is these final instructions that Peter gives us. Like, what do we do? I want to throw this out. Everybody look up. Don't you feel like in a day like today, someone needs to stand up and do something really big? Do you feel like that? We're looking for some big thing to change, a big thing to happen. But the challenge is, as believers in Jesus Christ, if every one of us does the little things that God calls us to do every day, it amounts to a monstrous change. And that's what we're going to think about this morning as we kind of dive in. And, you know, we all look for, you know, this giant thing to happen. And it may, by the way, God may choose to do that. But what God wants his people to do, right? Remember what we learned? Pastor Ansley talked about, I talked about too. We are what? A chosen what? A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, right? And our job is to proclaim the praise of God to this world and to let them know that there's hope. And we're going to talk about how can we live like Jesus. We're going to blow right by that. So here's the thought real quick, eternal truth. Grab hold of this, right? This is kind of the big picture. What's God want us to do? We are a chosen generation of blessing. We learned that, right? God wants us to do what? To be a blessing, not to be part of the chaos, but to be a blessing in the midst of the chaos, a ray of hope, a ray of light, a ray of goodness, and a ray of love, right? And he wants us to do that, be that blessing in our love, even in our suffering. We learned that last week, right? Suffering is something that we shouldn't be surprised about. In our service and in our submission. And I just kind of put this on. This is how we do it. This is how we do it, right? Like, we're going to keep on living day to day. This is what we need to do. And God's going to use us to do what he wants to do. So I'll take a quick step to reflect backward real fast, right? Review of where we were last week, right? And by the way, here's the thought. We want to become the chosen generation in the tough areas. Not just the easy stuff. It's easy to change the outside, isn't it? We can look good. You know, we can put makeup on. We can do all those things, right? But in the tough areas, what God's looking for. So a couple of questions we left us with last week. Here's one. Are we living out our calling to be a blessing? Everybody look up. Think about that for a second. You know, if I went to your job and I did a little interview, would they say, yeah, man, that person is such a blessing. We're so glad they're an employee. Or would they say, man, they are the best complainers we have on site. What would they say, right? So, I mean, we need to be the blessing that God wants us to be, right? And that involves, right, having this sympathetic understanding and love in action for people. Like when people, you know, they do stuff, we kind of look beyond the surface and we say, you know, I understand what they're wrestling with, and I want to help them. I want to love them anyway, right? So that's one. And then here's the next one. Are we embracing suffering and faith like Christ with holiness and bringing glory to God in our difficulties? You know, that'd be sort of a second interview. So when the going gets tough, you know, what's that expression? The tough get going? And I don't mean going out the door. I mean they get going, right? They get going for real, right? So are we, like, embracing suffering? Remember, Peter wrote last time, he said, don't be surprised when you suffer. I would like to be surprised and when we suffer, but it's the reality of this life in this broken world, right? So that's where we left us last time. So what do we do? What do we do? And here's the three things I want you guys to get hold of today, right? Get these three words. First word is serving for God's glory. We serve, right? We serve. The second thing is, and me and Pastor Ansu and deacons and teachers and leaders, we have to shepherd. We got to keep moving everybody in the right direction, including ourselves. And sometimes we need you to help to pull us along too. But we need to shepherd. The third thing is, and this is the hard one, right? We talk about this. Pastor Ansu, he had to talk about this one first. Submit. Submitting to God, submitting to each other, submitting to, you know, governments, submitting to all these things. We got to submit. We're going to come back to that. But here's the starter today, right? So we got to serve. And the first thing we got to talk about when it comes to serving is we got to be serious in our prayer. We have to have a fervent love. We have to practice genuine hospitality. And we have to serve passionately. So we're going to dive into this text and just kind of figure it out. So check it out. You guys can look up on the screen or look in your Bibles in 1 Peter as well. But notice how this starts. Would you guys read the first several words with me? What's it say? But the end of all things is what? At hand, right? In other words, we are racing to the conclusion, by the way, and that started all the way back with Peter 2,000 years ago, to the end of all things, where we're kind of in this process. He says the end of all things is at hand, and he says as a result of that, and by the way, you'll hear people all over, you know, talk about, you know, all the things, prophecies that are coming to bear, all these things that are happening. Are we in the last days? Maybe. By the way, other generations thought they were too. The Lord could tarry 1,000 more years. We don't know. But he could also come before service ends. And some of you guys are saying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. You know? But he could come anytime. But he says, the end of all things is at hand, right? And he says, by the way, look what he starts out with. And Pastor Ansu, by the way, you expressed that this morning in your testimony about your accident. Look what he says first. He says, therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. What's that mean? You say, well, I'm always serious when I pray. You know, I ain't messing around with God. I'm always serious when I pray to God. What does he mean by that? Here's the idea that I kind of have to kind of dig into this word just a little bit. The idea is being disciplined, kind of having your mind together that before you get into stuff, you take it to God in your prayers. Now, I don't know about you guys. How many people feel like they have to just run out of their house in the morning? You're trying to shower, eat, get kids ready, you know, do whatever you got to do. It's like a horse race. Anybody feel like that? Okay, if you're retired, maybe you don't feel quite as much that way. But some of you, I know you're doing more things. You're trying to figure out, how did I ever work? I'm so busy now, right? But here's the challenge. We live that kind of life a lot. But the challenge is that we need to discipline ourselves to go to God first, to prepare our heart, our mind, and even our bodies for what's going to come. Because we don't know what's going to come. And that's really affected me a lot. Like, it's so easy, by the way, something happens in your day and it throws your entire day, maybe the whole week off. But when we're when we're disciplined and we're serious and we're focused on, God, I need your perspective. Everybody look up for a second. A lot of people out there, right? You guys are highly trained, highly educated in your jobs and all these different things, right? But so many times our hearts are not prepared for what's going to happen, what's going to be said, and what's going to occur in our day. And I want to just challenge us, right? And that affects me too, because, you know, I'm in the horse race like you are. It's like, okay, I got to go. You know, how many times, you know, like we used to eat breakfast at home, and now you're grabbing something on the road, you're grabbing a coffee, you're grabbing this, you know. You know, we live in this crazy, frantic world, but when we're crazy and frantic, we're rarely Christ-like. And that's why we need to do that time, having that time of being serious and watchful in your prayers. How about the next thing he says? We're going to move on quickly today. He says this, he says, and above all things, so we're going to start out our day, right, each day, being serious and going to God and saying, God, help me. By the way, you don't have to pray these flowery, long King James prayers. Just ask God to help you and focus you on your day. That's what we're talking about, right? And then he says this next. He says, have a fervent love for one another. You guys know what that means? The word fervent, you don't hear that word a lot. You know what it means? Hot. Like burning hot. Like so hot you can't touch it hot. In other words, our love for each other is so passionate that it just continues in every situation. And God says, you got to have that fervent love. And by the way, notice, look what he says next. For what? Love will cover a multitude of sins. Everybody look up for a sec. You know, at First Baptist Church, isn't it great when you come here, everything is perfect. The people are always nice. They're always pleasant. They always smile. They always put each other first. No. I would like that to be true, but it's not true, right? But here's the deal. When I love someone, whether they... by the way, I just want to share with you guys. I have a confession. Walt Meekins, I love my brother. He was the chairman of the board when I came here, and he's like my dear friend. But the last couple of weeks, he has not only stepped on my foot, he has run over it with his chair. You know, and if I wasn't the pastor, I might get a different church. Right? Now, I say that as an example to make us all smile, but you know what? Think about things happen in church. People say things, and you're like, really? You know, people have attitudes. Yeah, even right here, right? Can I get amen, right? Amen, right? Right? Stuff happens, right? But here's the deal. When I love someone, and I'll throw this out, like, I've been married for 37 years, going on 38. And I'm hoping for 38, right? Amen. Praise God that Jane practices this passage. Right? But the idea, right, is... that's what keeps us together, because our love overshadows and overwhelms all the crazy, bad, dumb, silly things that we do, right? So here's the deal. If we're going to hang together in the midst of all this difficulty, we got to have this passionate love for each other, and that love flows down from the love of God for me, and it flows out my heart to you, right? So we got to have that, right? So we got to be prayed up. And we got to have some love for each other that just overwhelms everything else that'll happen here, right? By the way, you are not at the perfect church. We never will be until we get to heaven, right? But we're going to keep practicing that love. And by the way, the church, I like to think this all the time. Church is like a greenhouse. You know, like, you know, plants grow really well in a greenhouse. And all the good and bad things kind of come together. And God sort of forces our growth here. We learn how to forgive each other. We learn how to love each other. We learn how to do all those things, because even in here, we're going to step all over each other sometimes in sin. Right? But that love is keeping. So he says, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Have a fervent love for one another. Be hospitable. You know what that means? Be welcoming. Be gracious. Be kind. And here's the deal. Be in your will. You want to be there and you want to help. Be hospitable. You know, it's kind of like, did you ever go to someone's house? I remember doing this sometimes. We would, you know, go to visit people or, you know, trying to do evangelism sometimes, and you knock on someone's door and they just like slam the door on you, right? That's sort of the opposite picture, right? But we want to be hospitable. And by the way, notice what it says. He can add these other pieces on without what? Grumbling. That's that murmuring, you hear this a lot of times in the news. Oh, here's, you know, the president on a hot mic. And on the picture, he's like, and on the mic, you know, he's saying something under his breath that nobody ought to hear, right? Right? But the idea of this hospitality is that we try to help each other and care for each other and meet needs, and we know that's what God wants us to do, and we know we're in the right spot that God has for us, so we're not going to moan and groan and grumble about everything. And by the way, you know people in our church, in your family, when they come, you just go, oh. Right? And here's the application of this passage. Don't be one of those people. Right? Like, you want people, when they see it, to crack a smile, not frown, right? So he says, be serious and watchful in your prayer. Have fervent love for each other. Be hospitable without grumbling. And then here's the next thing he says. Four things, right? He says this. He says, I want you guys to serve, minister to one another. The idea of minister, you know, people don't use that word so much. It's the idea is serve each other, right? And then what he says, minister your gift to one another as a good steward of the manifold, which means many, graces of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Right? So, and I want to throw this out. Anybody a tennis fan? Okay, maybe I was like, well, you know, we just had the U.S. Open. I'm not a huge tennis fan. I used to play as a kid sometimes for fun. But did you ever see these guys? They can serve, and these ladies too, by the way, they could serve a tennis ball like at 100 and some miles an hour. And the guy who's going to receive it, or the lady who's going to receive it on the other side, who's sort of on the defensive position trying to play it back, it is like almost impossible if they hit it that hard to the right spot. So the serve is a powerful weapon. Does that make sense? It's powerful. Like you see this guy serve, and it's just like, wow. Like you have to have this camera now to see if the ball is in or out because it's so fast, no one can really pick it up. But I want to say this. I want to use that illustration. You know what? You know what the most powerful weapon is in all this difficulty? It's our serve. Does that make sense? It's our serve. Like, because people don't expect you to serve. People expect you to moan and groan and run away and take care of yourself before you take care of them. But our serve is a powerful weapon for the gospel. It's a powerful weapon to change this messed up world the way Jesus Christ would want it to be. And I want to encourage this. We need to have that kind of serve. Right? We need to have that kind of serve. And I want to challenge you. You know, by God's grace, and we praise God, our church is growing. We're seeing more kids. We're seeing more adults. We're seeing visitors every week. We're seeing God just touch people's hearts. Not with, because we're so special, it's because God's so special. And God's working in us, right? We're seeing all that happen. But guess what that means? That means we need people to serve. But our community has so many needs. You know what we need? We need people to serve each other, right? And I know some of you guys out there are going like, well, you know, I don't really have any talent or any gifts. Well, the Bible says, wrong. Every single one of us has been given a spiritual gift, which is an ability to build up the body of Jesus Christ in some way. You might be an encourager. You might be a mechanic. You might be able to paint really well. You might be able to preach well. You might be able to teach well. You know, you might be able to do finances well. All those things make church church. And we have our business meeting today. If it wasn't for our business people, we probably have no lights on and no water running. If it wasn't for people that fix up our building, you know, we would have an umbrella up when it rained inside. If it wasn't for the people that take care of all that stuff that make our lawn look beautiful, rake up our leaves, fix up our stuff, you know, you wouldn't want to come here. It takes everybody. And I'll share with you guys. Anybody watch the World Series last night? You had a chance because you got the extra hour of sleep. And you can still say it ended like a little bit after 12. Anybody, raise your hand. Who watched the World Series, right? All right. Dodgers, by the way, kind of amazing, right? Here's a funny thing. And there's actually an article I read in the paper about it today. It said, you know what? There was a lot of unexpected heroes that made the Dodgers win. I don't know if anybody watched the game, but in the top of the ninth, this guy, his name is Miguel Rojas. He's the son of a former guy. His name was Cookie Rojas. Remember him way back? If you're old, you'll know who Cookie Rojas was, right? But he's his son. And now he's old. He's 30, oh, by baseball. He's 36 years old. He didn't play most of the World Series. And he got put in Game 6 to help out a little bit. And in Game 7, unexpected hero, guess what? In the top of the ninth, the score, they were losing 4-3. It's the Dodgers. Blue Jays were up, right? Guess what he did? He hit a home run. He hasn't hit a home run in like 2 months, right? He's old. I'm sorry. I know we're all kind of getting old, right? He's old, right? Right? He's old. But guess what? This guy was the hero. And I say that to say this to all of us. A lot of people go like, oh, they don't really need me at church. They have all these talented people. And we have lots of talented people, right? But we need you. We need those unexpected heroes to do stuff that no one expects for God. Right? And I want to challenge you guys today. That's what we're talking about, right? We need everybody on the team. Not just on Sunday, but when we play a lot of games during the week here. We play Friday nights. We play Sunday, you know, we play in the food pantry on Wednesdays and Saturdays and Sundays, every day but Monday just about. You know, the games are going on every day, right? So we need all the crew on deck. And we don't even need you Sunday at 11 because the games start at 9:45. We need you all here, like, and involved. And by the way, not just here, we need you involved in the community to represent Christ to Willenboro, to Burlington, to West Hampton, that they see that the God of the Bible and his son Jesus Christ is real. And he loves them and he wants to change their life. Right? We need everybody on the team. And I can't say that enough. Jonathan kind of said that about it. Me and Pastor Anstey, we get to do a lot of stuff. Sometimes we're on the roof. Sometimes we're under, you know, in the bathroom, under the toilet. We're doing all kinds of things. But we need help, right? And we don't mind, but we need your help. We need some financial guys to come along. Dennis is amazing, Mark is amazing, Gordon's amazing, but they need help, right? Guy's amazing, he's old, but he could do a lot of stuff down there, right? You ever see an 80-year-old man pick up like cantaloupes and stuff? It's amazing, man. He can do it, right? But we need the whole team. We need some unexpected heroes to be part of the picture, right? And that's what he says here. I'm just going to close out with this. He says, disciplined prayer, fervent love, and genuine hospitalities are the basis of passionate serving using our God-given gifts for his glory. And sometimes we go, well, I don't know what my gift is. Just try stuff out. And people, if they see you're gifted, they'll tell you. If they see you're not, you'll know. They may tell you too, but you'll know, right? So here we go. That's number one. So passionate service, right? Our serving, right? And it's backed up by all those things. And I take us down to the next slide. Usually when I can't click, it means I talk too long. Here we go. Here's the next one. And by the way, I just want to emphasize this. Jesus said these words. He said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, right? So if Jesus came to serve, we're his little Christ, right? We're here to serve, whatever that looks like. And but by the way, everybody look up. Before we serve, let's be prayed up. Let's make sure our love is in the right place. We're loving, we're growing in that area. And let's be ready to do those things. Let's be hospitable, right? So we're going to slide down to our next slide. Here's the next part. So we talk about serving, and we're going to slide this down, if you would please, there, Laureen. And now we want to talk about this next part. And this kind of focuses on me and Pastor Ansu and leaders in particular. I'll kind of take it extended even further. This idea of shepherding. It's our duty. If you're like a leader, leaders are good shepherds. By the way, leaders need to be good servants to be good shepherds. And there's a whole thing, it was back probably like 10 years ago, the whole world was saying, yeah, servant leadership, servant leadership, servant leadership. And it, by the way, it really works. You know, kind of that right now we're not in a world of servant leadership, we're in a world of authoritarian leadership, it seems like, all over. And I don't just mean here, I'm not trying to be political. All over the world, everyone's just like, rah, you know, I'll tell you what to do, and, you know, making you do stuff that you don't want to do, right? Our shepherding, it's our duty and it's a reward that we have too. But look what he says about this, and we get these words down. So we're supposed to shepherd you, guide us, lead us, serve alongside you and with you willingly, eagerly, and in an exemplary way. And by the way, I know we don't, me and Pastor Anson, we don't do that perfectly. We try really hard to be good servants, to be good leaders. But that's what God wants us to do. If you lead Awana, if you lead Sunday school, if you lead the women's ministry, if you lead whatever in this church, youth ministry, men's Bible study, whatever it is, that's the kind of leadership we're looking for, right, to lead sheep. So we're going to slide down and just hit this real quick this morning. Look at the passage, right? He says, the elders who are among you, by the way, elder does mean old, but it also means respected, someone who is in charge, who leads, right? And he says, the elders among you, I exhort or I encourage, I who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Look what it says. It says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. Like, we need to be, as leaders, watching what's going on, watching people's needs, watching people's hurts, watching people's issues. And by the way, I see that in many of our leaders in church. You know, they're loving on their people. I just saw something today, it just kind of made me, someone did not come to a ministry today, and I saw the leader say, hey, you okay? Their first words weren't, where are you? Where were you? I was like, wow, that's impressive. That's how we got to lead, right? We got to be overseeing. Like, the word there, the Greek word is this word, skopeo. It has this idea of, like, looking over everything so that I understand what's really going on. And out there, this doubt, even as a pastor, you know, I learned this. Sometimes you'll see people missing, and our human reaction is, what are you doing? Where are you at? But as we shepherd people, is our idea ought to be, I wonder what's going on. I wonder what kind of hurts they're going through right now. There's probably a reason they're not here, right? Maybe something's going on there. And I've seen this happen in our church so many times. You'll see somebody missing, and they're like, oh, they must have left angry. And it's no, somebody in their family is like really, really sick. Or they lost their job. Or they have some health concern going on, right? We need to lead that way, right? We need to understand, lead that way. And we need to do it, it says, not by compulsion. In other words, we don't serve you guys because, like, we're forced to do it. The board is going to fire us if we don't do it. So we don't serve you because the board's going to fire us. They could, but hopefully they won't. But we don't serve that way. And he says, not for dishonest gain. We're not here for the money. And by the way, as pastors, a couple of us, we get paid a bit, right? But you know what? Most of you guys serve and you don't get paid. But we don't do it for the money. We don't do it for the prestige. We don't do it for all those things. We do it because God's called us to do it. You know, when I wanted to become a pastor, this guy said this to me. He said, read this book. And it said, if you can do anything else other than being a pastor, go do that. It's like, really? And the idea is, because it's this calling that you don't get compensated for. You don't always get the pats on the back. Like we praise God, October, we get a couple pats on the back. But a lot of times people are just like, they're needy, they're hurting. And the first person calls us, 20 seconds later, the next person calls us. They don't know the first person call. You know, and it couldn't go down like that all along. And, you know, we praise God. We serve because God's really called us to this job. And I'll throw this out for you guys by extension. If you're a deacon, if you're a leader, you're that because God has called you to do that. And it's not to get paid. It's not to get the pats on the back. It's not all those things because God has called you to this and he's gifted you for it. And that's how he wants us to serve, right? And he continues and he says, we don't serve as being lords over those entrusted to you. You know, and I kind of used that verse before. Jesus said that, right? He said, you know, I came to serve. I didn't come to lord over you. I came to serve you. But he says, but be an example to the flock. And I want to encourage all you guys as leaders. Here's the example, right? A couple of things that make us a good example. Faithfulness. That you're here. You're involved. Another part of that is, man, you really are walking with the Lord. Not perfectly, but you're trying your best. You're in the Word. You're in prayer. You're trying to be the best you can be for God. Those are some examples. And the other example is like Christ. Like, there's no job too big, no job too small, no job that's not on your job description that you might have to do, right? And all of us, just imagine if we all served that way. By the way, isn't that the kind of person you want to work with? You want to work with someone who will do anything to get the job done and will help you and roll up their sleeves or do whatever it takes to get a job done, right? So that's how we should be serving, right? And then he says, and when the chief shepherd, he means Jesus, appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So we need to shepherd. We need to lead, guide, direct, and care for the flock of God intentionally in an exemplary manner as a servant like Jesus. And when he returns, he will reward with a crown of glory. And by the way, the crown of glory lasts forever. You know, we'll be able to cast that at Jesus' feet, it says, you know, as we get into the eternal kingdom, right? So I just want to encourage us, right? What do we do? What are the big things we got to do? We do these small things, right? We serve, right? We serve each other. We pray. We're loving. We're hospitable. And we shepherd people like Jesus would so they move toward God. And that's such a huge thing. We're going to slide right on down to our next point. Here's the next one. And again, this one is not the fun one again. We don't like this one. By the way, how many times has submission come up in this book? Anybody remember? I have heard and given at least 3 or 4 messages that involve this concept. And you guys all have the same look every time we say the word submission. Right? And if I was up here smiling, I probably had the same look too. Right? We're like, what? And here's the thought. He says this next. He says he wants us, and we'll go down one slide and I'll come back. He says, look at the first verse. He says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive one to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. So guess what? Everybody look up. In a world where everybody exalts themselves, be humble. And isn't it true? We watch leaders, athletes, actors, everybody. What do? They exalt themselves. You want to change the world? Be humble. And God will exalt you. And that's kind of the principle here, right? So I'll go back. I'm going to go backward on one slide if I can do that. Take me back one slide, Lorraine, if you will. There it goes. So look, here's a couple of things we got to think about. So we understand what we got to serve. We got to shepherd. Submission, right? It's humility and it's strength, right? And here's the thing. We got to humble ourselves. And then we'll get to the song that Rosemary sang. We need to cast your cares. Cast them out, right? Cast them to Jesus, right? And then we need to be watchful and resist the devil, right? So let's talk about it real fast. We're going to jump into that, take it right on down. So he says, likewise, by the way, everybody look up. How many folks are younger? All right, I guess I just lied in church, huh? Right? How many folks wish you were younger, right? Yeah, we all do, yeah, right? But he says, in a serious way, right? The idea, if you're younger, and there's some younger folks in here, the idea is, you know what? The people that are older, the Bible commands that we respect them. And they've been around the block a lot more times than us. They have more experience than us. They probably have more knowledge than us. They probably know the Lord better or have known him longer than us. So we respect them. So we should be humble. We should submit ourselves to them. And then he says this phrase. He says, but then get this. He says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Everybody look up. We studied this, right? This kind of a review point, right? Why? Because it makes the team work. It makes everything work. The team, the office, the church, the family. When there's submission there and we're all going the same direction, it all works. It's like a God-given thing. It all works. It's hard because we're all hard-headed and want to do our own thing, but it works. You know, that's why God gives it to us. Isn't it a cool thing about the Word of God? When God tells you something and you actually do it, what happens? It works. Wow, I can't believe that worked. It's because God knows everything. He created you. He created the world. So if he tells you something, he tells you for your own good because it works. So he says, be submissive, right, to each other. And he says, by the way, get this in your mind. Everybody look up. Read this phrase. It says, God resists the proud. What's the next part? But he gives grace to the humble. I don't know about you, but I don't want to fight against God. I'd rather him just be throwing me grace every day. How about you? Like, that's kind of a fundamental concept, right? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Being hard-headed and proud doesn't get us anywhere because the last person I want to fight with is God. Right? But if I humble myself, then God gives me the grace, the wisdom, the ability, the understanding to do what I need to do in a difficult day. Right? And that's what he says. And then look what he says next. By the way, here's something for you guys. Everybody look up. So that was kind of things that we do too, right? Here's something that we do very imperfectly. Look what he says next. He says, casting all your care upon him. Because he cares for you. Contextually, it seems like that's connected to this idea of humbling myself, doesn't it? In the context, it seems like that's there. And I'll throw this out. Think about this. You might say, well, if I humble myself, you know, I don't know if I can trust him. We say that in our homes sometimes. We say that in our job. But God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, right? So he says, cast all your cares upon him. And today, you know what? I wish I had like a big bucket and I'd pass it around and you could write down all your cares and throw it in there. But here's our challenge, right? The cares don't just relate to me being submissive. There's all kinds of cares and concerns that are burdening your heart right now, isn't it? You're worried about tomorrow. You know, yesterday we were worried about what's going to happen to all those people with SNAP benefits, right? You know, supposedly we're going to get them now, right, or whatever, right? We have all these things, you know, politically, nationally, in the whole world that we're worried about. And here's what God says. Cast all your cares upon him, Jesus Christ. And here's what, by the way, here's the point of that. You know, when you cast your cares, so when you pray to God and say, God, help me, there's no way I can do this. It frees you up to do in God's power what only he can do through you. You don't have to, by the way, it's not your burden anymore, it's God's. And we have to get better at that. And by the way, this is the, you know, the pot calling the kettle black up here too, right? Do I worry about things? Yep. You know, the Christian way, we say, well, I'm just really concerned. But, you know, deep down, we're like, oh, I don't know how this is going to work out. I'm not sure. But he says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. And I want to encourage you guys, please, 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 let's do that. You know, we go to God in prayer. But remember the thing we said in the beginning? We started that with that in the beginning, right? Do what? Be serious about your prayer. When you get up in the morning, don't just ask God to help you, but tell him about all the burdens that are just dragging you down, slowing you down, helping you not to think clearly, not to deal with what's going on, right? He says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Then here's the next thing he says. Then he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Here's the thought, right? What's he trying to say? Going back, I'm going to be humble, and God's going to give me his grace. I'm going to cast all my cares on him. He's going to free me from those burdens. And you know what? I'm going to watch out, because Satan is real. He is walking around like a roaring lion. And he's not seeking to be your friend. He's seeking to devour you, to eat you alive. And by the way, he may know, or by the way, knows your weaknesses. He knows where you struggle, and he's going to come at you in those things. By the way, he's not going to come at you with a big red suit on saying, I'm here. He's going to do it through your children. He's going to do it through your family. He's going to do it through your job. He's going to do it through all these things. But everybody look up. Understand that the one doing it is the evil one, right? So he says, be aware. That's going to happen, right? And here's the deal. Resist him. You know what Satan would love you to do? Blow up. You know, when you get a hard time tomorrow at work, blow up, curse at them, yell at them, scream at them, walk out. He would love it, because that kind of damages our testimony. And just by the way, it gets us all ginned up. Then we go home and yell at our kids, our wife, everybody else, right? We have grandkids, probably yell at them too. You know, it just changes everything. He says, be aware. That's who Satan is. That's what he does, right? But by the way, notice what God does. When we do all those things, he says this. But may the grace of God, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. Get that in your mind. We're going to suffer a little while. But when we do, look what it says. God's going to perfect us, establish us, like stabilize us, equip us, strengthen us, and settle us. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. As Moses read. Good job, Moses. We kind of missed that slide, right? That's the point, right? So after all that's done, when we kind of do those things that God just told us to do, guess what? God's going to meet us. He's going to give us his grace. And he's going to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us amidst the struggle. Now, I don't know about you. In this difficult day, I need to be perfected, established, strengthened, and settled. In a huge way, right? Because, you know, my mind's sinful just like yours, and my mind goes over here and over there, and goes all here and yon. But God wants to settle me in him. We humble ourselves, we cast our care, we carefully resist, and God steps in with his grace to stabilize us. Amen? So we're going to shoot down, and we're going to wrap up, and we're going to go to the Lord's table in a moment and just praise God for him. And I want to leave you with these thoughts, right? What's our response to these things, right? Here they are, real quick summary, right? Take a picture of it, kind of give us a good idea. I need to do that too. Here's the first question, right? Are we living out our calling to be a blessing? And the answer is probably sort of. So let's work on what's not so hot, right? Are we sympathetic? Are we loving? Are we embracing suffering? Remember he says, don't be surprised when the suffering comes upon you. You know, embrace it. God's using it to develop us and to just really shine his light through us. And then today's thoughts, right? Are we serving with passion like Christ and following his example? Are we doing that? Think about that, right? Are you doing that? Am I doing that? And by the way, I hope you call me this week and say, man, I'm ready to serve with passion. But be prayed up. Just, you know, it's a step, and we got to get up every day and say, I'm going to live that way, right? It's hard, right? We can do it. Are we shepherding and following Christ's example? Leaders, right? Are we doing that the way Jesus did? And how about this one? Are we humbling ourselves and casting our cares on Christ? You know how many times I've been in a counseling session and here's the big issue. He disrespects me. She disrespects me. The kids disrespect me. Is that a problem? Yeah, but it's not enough to blow up your marriage or your house. Right? In our whole world, you hear it all over the place. People want to fight because they're disrespected. Nobody wants to humble themselves. Right? That's such a key thing. Humbling ourselves. And you know what? All those cares, give them to Jesus. Because he's the only one in this room and in this world that can really handle all that. I can't, right? And how about this one? Are we watchful? Kind of saying, watch out. I know Satan's coming. I know he's going to do some stuff. Are we kind of vigilant about that and watchful? And are we resisting Satan? Last thought. The battleground for sin is our minds. We're all going to be tempted, but we don't have to fall. As believers, we have the power of the living God to resist sin and go the other way. And I want to encourage us in our relationships, in our choices, that's what God would have us do. And then, you know what? In this difficult world, we're going to be able to make it through by the grace of God. Amen? If there's anybody who needs help at the end of this, by the way, please grab me, grab Pastor Ansu, grab a deacon, grab your neighbor. You know what's kind of a cool thing? There's a few of us, but there's a whole lot of you guys. But if you need prayer, I just want to encourage us. You know, the body, we build relationships in this body that strengthen us. Like the women's ministry was a strengthening day for you ladies yesterday, right? Y'all been through stuff, but you saw that God can get the victory in everything that you face, right? You know, men, same kind of thing, right? Reach out to each other. Care for each other. We're going to close with a word of prayer, and then we're going to turn to the Lord's table. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instructions, Lord, that it gives us. Father, they're so clear. Sometimes, Lord, they're still hard. But I pray, dear God, in your power that you would just move us, dear God, to really follow what you tell us. To really, Lord, to be stronger in the midst of these burdens and these challenges that we face in this difficult day. But Lord God, help us to grow. Help us to take the next step, Lord, in our growth. For some of us, Lord, it's really to just receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. To know, Lord, that there is nothing that we can do to save ourselves, but that we just need Christ and his forgiveness and his help. Father, for some of us, it's, you know what? I just need to become part of a local body of believers who are going to hold me up. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here today that you would just work in their life in that way too. And Lord, for others, Lord, we just need help, Lord, as we battle with sin, battle with struggles, battle with all the things that we face. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would just meet us right where we are. Send brothers and sisters in Christ who can help us in that situation. And Lord God, I just pray that you would help us to gain the victory in all of those things. And Lord, I ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask our deacons to come on up if they would. And I know our junior church kids are coming in. So we have a couple of deacons who are going to be praying. And then those of you guys on the front will be serving. As Rosemary plays, we're going to celebrate the Lord's table. And I want to encourage you, this is for believers in Christ. As we recognize what God has done for us and we remember his sacrifice for us. And we're going to partake together in recognition of those facts. So our deacons are going to distribute the elements now to each one of you. While you're receiving them, it's a good time to have a moment of prayer with the Lord and just talk to God about your situation. You know, we praise God that the blood of Jesus Christ takes away all sin. I just want, did we miss anybody else? I'm sorry if we did. All right, great. You know, I want to just turn our attention to the Word of God just for a quick moment, but go to Mark chapter 14 is the place I want to take a look at today. By the way, the communion service, if you will, is really spoke about in each one of the Gospels. And in the book of Mark, by the way, is the action gospel. Like Jesus is doing all these things. And the one thing he did as they got together to celebrate the Passover before Jesus died is he instituted this service, if you will, or this ordinance, we call it. It's not going to save you. It's not going to wash away your sin. It's not going to make you better. But it's going to make you remember what Jesus did for you. And Jesus, remember, before he went to the cross, he sat down with all of the disciples, and he said to them, it says, and as they were sitting, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and he gave it to them, and he said, take, eat, this is my body. Oh, that's kind of a strange expression. But he was trying to explain to them that his body would be broken for their sin and their rebellion. And Jesus, as the ultimate suffering servant, would give himself, his body and his blood, to take away the sin for all eternity of anyone who would receive it and believe it. And after that, he took the cup and he illustrated this again. So as we stop and we think about that, that's what we're doing this morning. We're remembering that we don't stand on our own merit, but we stand on the broken body and shed blood of the perfect Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for us. And as we stop and we think about that, Deacon Richard is going to just pray and thank God that the God of the universe would send his son Jesus and allow his body to be broken for us.
Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we say thank you. We say thank you for remembering us in your kingdom, O God, to send your son to come and die for our wickedness while we were in the darkness struggling, O God. Father, we say thank you. Father, even as Jesus, as you said in the Garden of Gethsemane, that we should do this in remembrance of you. And you left your Holy Spirit here for us. And we'll continue to do this in remembrance of you. We say thank you. Father, as we are about to take this bread that symbolizes your body that was broken on the cross of Calvary for our sin, and you had no sin. Father, we say thank you. We say thank you, sin, that things they did that no man can do, that you, the only person that can do this, to die for a fellow man. Amen. Father, we say thank you. As we eat this bread that symbolizes your body that was broken on the cross of Calvary, we say let us give us the spirit of to be humble, to submit, to serve. Father, we say thank you. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. By the way, aren't you glad that Jesus submitted to the Father and he stayed on earth and he went to the cross? Remember he said, Father, if you could take away this cup or this awful thing from me, do it. But he said, not my will, but yours be done. And as you look at that bread, but y'all remember, we stand on the broken body of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins.
Amen. Amen. In Luke chapter 22, verse 22, 21, it says that, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. But I just want us to focus on verse 20. Jesus was giving an instruction about his body being sacrificed, his blood being shed. And he was cautious about it. And as we partake of it, Jesus wants us to be cautious and remember how he gave himself for us. And sometimes we just take and don't think about the importance of it. But he wants us to be cautious of how it took his life to share his blood for us. And that's why he said, whenever you do this what? In remembrance of me. Amen. Amen? So as we partake, let us continue to remember, like the scripture says, greater love has no man than for a man to lay down his life for another man. Deacon John will pray for the element of the wine.
Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with a humble heart today. We thank you, Father, mighty God, for what you did on the cross for us, Lord. You shed your blood for our sake. We thank you that your blood paid it all. For that, we say thank you, Father. Mm. Father, mighty God, as we gather together today to do what you have commanded us to do this in remembrance of you, we come to you today, Lord, as your body. And we just pray that as we're about to partake this cup that represents your blood, we pray that we'll be cleansed of all our sins, Lord, and all our righteousness. And we pray that you will help us, mighty God, as we move on from here, that your grace, your wisdom, your spirit will continue to abide with us and will carry us throughout this week till we come again to fellowship together. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 Let us drink together. Amen.
Amen. We're going to ask the praise team to come up just for a closing song. And by the way, deacons for a minute, would you guys just stay deacons for a minute? Come on back. I just want to recognize our other under-shepherds. You guys know Dennis Rothwell, Moses Carmbe, Al Myers, right, in the front, Morris Summers, and Gordon Johnson is coming with the garbage cans to cut the cups. By the way, deacons serve, right? That's what we did, right? So we praise God for them.
Before the choir sing, I need to apologize. When we recognize the pastors, I didn't recognize the wives. And we know without them, they would not be here. So a round of applause for Jade and Brian. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you.
there's any need that you have today, please let us know. But be diligent in your prayer. Take your needs to the Lord this week. And let's try to go out and let's try to really do what God said. You know what? Those little things that we all do in Jesus' name and his power will change our world and change the world. I just want to encourage you. Let's do that this week. We have a business meeting. It's not going to be real long. I know you guys are going to, we got to get out of here, right? We want to share some plans and look at our budgets and all that stuff. So if you guys would get your kids if you need to, come right back in. We're going to get started just in a couple of minutes, and we'll pass out the tablets so y'all can sign in if you're members. And we look forward to seeing you in a minute. And I hope all of us, by the grace of God, just have a great week in living out what Jesus did for us in our own personal lives. Pastor Ansel, you're going to close us out with prayer.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us this far. Help us, Lord, as we go through this week, that you have called us out of darkness in your marvelous light. And we are chosen to serve, to honor in every way. Lord, give us the strength, the courage, when we don't feel like it, to know that, Lord, we can cast all upon you and you will take care of us. We just thank you. Go over us as we're about to go through our business meeting. Come, Lord, give us wisdom. And let your will be done. Bless our days, our weeks, our families, and you be honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Hey, if you're a visitor, by the way, stop in our little...